January 13th at 7:02. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachman. Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson. Trustee O'Connell. President Narducci.
Here. Okay. If I'd asked you all, please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Luke. All right. Okay. General BS. I don't know if that's on here, but okay. I will go. None of these are on our agenda. So, Margie, go ahead. Please take the podium.
Margie Seconder, 500 block of River Oaks Drive. The agenda and the discussion at the December 16th board meeting was disappointing. Without a vote on term limits, citizens again gathered signatures. Many residents had heard of the term limits effort, were surprised there weren't limits, and clearly wanted it on the ballot. Term limits would be prospective, impacting officials elected in 2027 and 2029 elections. Trustee Vasquez began the discussion December 16th, bringing up placing term limits on the spring 2027 ballot 2.25 years into the future, and continually advocated for a future initiative. The village president repeatedly questioned whether the board should take on the ballot initiative at all and didn't want to do it now. The village president said Trustee Johnson was on board with broadening the term limits to the full board, then said the board should wait for Mr. Johnson. How many critical votes have been taken in the absence of one trustee, like on Lake and Lathrop alone? Trustee Gillis wanted to delay. She was still traumatized by the Northeast traffic issues. Trustee O'Connell's comments were at times inaudible, without a mic, but wanted to delay and refer the topic to staff. Two trustees, Bachner and Brennan, and Village Clerk Keller, continued to press to place term limits on the ballot. Clerk Keller stated, because we know our constituency and they would like to, because we follow our constituency and they would like to see it, no different than putting up a stop sign. The citizenry wanted it. There was so much acting that night, it felt like I was at a stage play, all orchestrated by the village president to maneuver three trustees to block or delay the will of the citizens to get an initiative on the ballot for voters to decide. Again, the electoral board hearing exhibited similar maneuvering by Kleinthorpe Jenkins' attorney representing the village, who stated he was assisting the village president and she was recusing, yet he directed most of the hearing and allowed her to vote. We're still waiting for the summarized minutes under the Open Meetings Act. Kleinthorpe Jenkins has not served village residents well. Craig Smith subordinated our village rights to Lake and Lathrop, transferring away $3 or $4 million in village assets. Attorney Molina, December 16th, misstated the village president's replacement on the electoral board had to be a public member, contradicting the attorney assisting the electoral board hearing. Legally, the second most senior trustee was to serve, or if multiple, to draw lots. Our village attorneys work for the village president, not for the residents. It was apparent our village lacks the quality, transparent leadership that assesses issues, questions, evaluates each on its merit, and makes good decisions in tune to the needs, desires, and affordability of and for residents. Rather, board members who try to represent the broad community that elected them are debated, stymied, and sometimes publicly dismissed in their attempts to respond to residents. Neighborhood Dialogues follows a similar process to the EDC selection of EDC Commissioner Walter Wahlfeld's firm to market four village properties. Both use a consultant in a thinly veiled effort to deliver the village leadership's goals and agenda while disguising actual workings and intent. By using consultants, the village president places a buffer between her and the effort, so as to deflect from her involvement and blame, a process used repeatedly in our village. Dialogues created exclusive survey results from hand-picked guests of hand-picked hosts and blocked participation by other residents, even using a tax-funded facility, the community center, its intent likely to damage dissension on an as-yet-unknown developments on Madison Street and at Lakin Park. Dialogues omitted the board and resident input and key commercial properties, but spent $20,000 without board input. Did the board not learn that broad resident input is needed? The village board met May 13th in executive session with developers interested in the Madison TIF parcels for Cook County affordable housing tax credits. Affordable housing should be scattered throughout the village. Commissioners, trustees, and residents knowingly or unwittingly are gaslighted on all three efforts: dialogues, marketing the village properties, and Lake and Lathrop. We treasure our village of smart, talented, busy residents who deserve the very best leadership from our local governing boards. With all the work the village president said is on your plate as a board, does the board want to continue to battle its citizens and voters? River Forest has centralized too much responsibility and power in the office of village president, combined with the power of incumbency and long-serving board members. It fosters complacency in the electorate when improving our village requires bright ideas, talents, and differing perspectives from dedicated elected officials working together. A broader pool of potential candidates is needed to share responsibilities and work for all of us. That is why we need term limits. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Corey? Okay, Corey, thank you. Debbie? Oh, there she is. She just walked in. So someone put you on here. Sorry. Okay, thank you, Debbie. Okay. What? Oh, is
He does not.
Okay, thank you. All right, very good. Thanks. I think that ends the comments from the public. So we'll go on with the elected official comments and announcements. All right, if I can ask maybe Trustee Gillis to start, do you mind?
No, I'm happy to. First of all, Happy New Year. And I just wanted to reiterate something that had been put on social media regarding the impact that the River Forest Sustainability Commission has had on village action in 2024. Thanks to a very dedicated volunteer commission supported by Seth Jansen, management analyst for the Village of River Forest. This post gave a lot of credit to the village, but I want to basically, I think, turn it a, you know, it's worth repeating. And secondly, to basically also ensure that the commission participants themselves get some credit for everything that was done this past year. This past year, we did partner with UIC to develop a climate action plan for the village. We converted Village Hall to energy efficient LED lighting at no cost to the village. We enrolled in community solar for the village's water pumping station and streetlights, which are the only two things I believe we can, given our agreement with ComEd. We converted across public works all diesel machinery and equipment to cleaner running biodiesel. My understanding is that test is ongoing. They want to see how it works throughout the winter and then make it a permanent thing. We planted 122 new trees in village parkways. We treated 287 existing parkway ash trees through funds from a USDA Forest Service grant. I was one of the lucky homeowners with a parkway ash tree that is unfortunately could become sick. So hopefully the inoculation works. And they are doing a community survey for community input. That survey is still active. So if anybody would like to participate in the River Forest Sustainability Commission survey, your input would be much appreciated. And finally, I want to thank the police department for purchasing the first electric vehicle for the village. As EV use is validated against like all types of village vehicles. I fully expect such purchases to increase in frequency. But as they say, let's start with this one. Let's see how it goes and expand from there. In closing, I'm very excited to see further impact from the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission on our decision making in 2025 and beyond. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. Okay,
I just want to wish everybody Happy New Year, and I have no further comments.
Okay. Nothing to add. Thank you.
Trustee Brennan.
Thanks, Kathy. I wanted to say Happy New Year to everyone as well. A lot of you I haven't seen since last year. So I also want to mention that I personally appreciate all of the beautiful lights around the village. It's darker and colder these days, and these lights are really just sort of heartwarming and literally light our path, whether we're on our bikes or walking or scooters or driving. And, you know, we don't all have the resources to put up an extravagant display, but it's really noticed and appreciated. I also need to respond to a comment that was made at our village board table last meeting on December 16th. At our last board meeting, one of my fellow trustees made a statement about why I hold the position I hold on the term limit ballot referendum question. Specifically, Rez stated that I hold my view because I have it against the village president. This comment hit me like a ton of bricks.
I don't recall saying that. I don't recall saying that.
This comment hit me like a ton of bricks at the time. But I didn't persist in addressing it in the middle of our substantive discussion on whether to put the term limit question on the ballot. Since that meeting, I've thought a lot about Rez's statement. And several residents have mentioned that they were concerned about the implications of the statement when they heard it. I take my job as a trustee seriously. I was elected as a trustee to represent my fellow residents who rely on my judgment, intellect, and analysis of each issue that comes before this board. I respect the position of trustee, and I believe that shows in my preparation for and participation in our meetings. Any suggestion that I vote based on personal bias or animus is potentially slanderous and serves to undermine any opinion, comment, and vote that I make at this board table. It also insults the time and talent that I put toward doing this job. So I ask that we keep our conversations at this table about the issues and avoid false and unfounded statements and personal insults, especially those that can serve to damage reputations. The last comment that I have is to ask for an update on the term limit referendum issue. When we last met, we discussed it, and I know that some things have happened since then. So I was going to ask Matt and John if you had anything to bring us up to speed.
Since the last village board meeting, a petition for a referendum question was submitted to the village on December 30th. Before the deadline for appearance on the April 1st ballot that has been received, there were no objections filed regarding that petition, and the deadline for certification and submittal for appearance on the ballot is for that question as long as well as other the candidates that submitted back in November is January 23rd.
So it's in John Keller, our clerk's hands, to decide what to do.
So the village, as a local election official, the village clerk is the state statute that would be responsible for certifying the questions for the ballot. So, yes, it, typically will just be a form submitted by the village to the county so that it appears on the ballot.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay.
Ken, Trustee Johnson.
Welcome. Thank you. Hello. I just want to wish everyone also a happy new year. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to say that I apologize for not being at the last meeting. And I want to say this, whatever we do vote on, move forward with, it's important that we understand that we handle everything, and this goes for trustees and residents and staff, that we do it respectfully. And so I ask that, you know, as we move forward on this and many other things, we try our best to be respectful as to what's going on, to be respectful as to people, to, you know, realize that, you know, whatever someone's vote is their vote. And it's important, and people have their understandings and beliefs and also have done their research. So we have to take what they say because they are elected officials. We have to take that and understand that that is something that we have to appreciate because of the fact that they have been elected to handle that position. And if there are issues, then, you know, as we all say, there will be open spots in the future, one being mine. So I just want to make sure that, you know, we move forward. I do agree with that was my position or is my position that it should be expanded to all. But I'll leave it at that because I'm not sure what everything that was discussed. But I do want us to try to be a little more respectful in comments and how we handle things, because in the end, we're all trying to just move River Forest forward. And we have to take everything under consideration. And I'm hoping that we can move forward on things in a respectful manner. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Johnson.
Again, Happy New Year to everyone. Just a couple of housekeeping things. The Public Works Department, great job. Streets are all clean, pretty free of ice. I would ask residents to take the time to, as it gets a little bit colder, to either get out there and shovel or get a little salt down on your sidewalk. For senior citizens, if you need assistance, go to the village's website. There's a place to sign up so we can help you out and get that work done. Also, Christmas tree pickup is still going on, so let's get our Christmas trees out so those don't dot the parkways for the remainder of the winter and spring. So with that, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, just a few things. Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you had a good New Year, and I'm positive that 2025 will be a great year. Katie, I don't remember that statement, but I will go back and listen to the tapes to make sure that I hear exactly what was said. But it would seem odd, but I will listen to it. But I want to echo what Trustee Johnson said. I don't think anybody votes or looks at things based on relationship with me or not. I think you all are very professional, and you all do very well on the board, and I'm very proud of this board. So, I hope everyone thinks independently and does the things that not only is right for you, but right for the community. And I'm positive that's what everyone does, every single one of us, including the clerk and including our lawyers and including our staff. So on that, I'm very grateful for. So I have nothing else to report. So we'll go ahead and look at the consent agenda.
Can I ask, we received a message from a resident who spoke at the last meeting and said it wasn't recorded in the minutes. I don't know what.
Let me answer that. I know she doesn't look at me, but I will answer that. I did just write to Greg and let him know that that was right. So we are going to remove the minutes because for some reason we did miss that, and that shouldn't have been. So thank you to Greg for bringing that to our attention. And so we will remove the minutes. So, and thank you, Katie, for saying that, because we want to take off item A.
So are you looking for a motion then?
Yeah. So if you could, from B to H. Thank you.
I move that we improve consent agenda items B through H.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. So I'll ask the clerk to read out loud each item and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A,
consent agenda item B, administration department report. C, monthly department reports. D, accounts payable December 2024, $1,873,811.76. E, December 2024 financial report. F, award of contract, 2025 street patching program, Schroeder Asphalt Services, $98,260.15. G, award of contract 2025 curb and sidewalk replacement program, Schroeder and Schroeder, Inc., $198,925. H, award of contract 2025 asphalt pavement crack sealing project, Dendler Incorporated, $48,150. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we have a few Zoning Board of Appeals variation requests. So I guess we'll do one at a time here. That's best, right? Okay. So if I can get a motion and a second on item A1.
I move to approve an ordinance granting the requested variation to section 10-9-5 of the Zoning Code at 506 Edgewood Place.
Second.
So, yeah, you want to sure. go through the variation? And I don't know if anybody's here for that variation.
Nope. Okay. Sure, I can go through it briefly. This the applicant in this case was seeking a new pergola in their yard. So in order for that to be enabled, they were seeking a variation for the lot coverage to be raised from 30% to 33%. There were no comments from any neighbors at the public hearing or received by staff, and the Zoning Board of Appeals recommended it for approval by a vote of 4-0.
I just have a question. To me, pergolas are open slats. Is this an open slat structure, or is it closed on top?
You know, I do not know that off the top of my head, but it was an expansion of also the surface under the pergola that led to that lot coverage.
I understood when I read the packet, I understood it to only mean the pergola, that I had understood it to mean that the patio below it was already existing. They're adding to the patio as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thought so too, but not 100%. It's worth looking at.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So what page do you got there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here.
The existing structure patio. 144 is a schematic of a large patio.
I'm sorry. It's the enlarged patio plus the pergola.
143. Skipped. Yes, all I see is with new pergola on page 144.
I think 146 has an aerial that shows where the slats would be between the beams.
So below that slats is added space. So that's what they're saying.
Correct.
So it's not the structure itself. It's
to accommodate the pergola.
Gotcha.
Additional lot coverage.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
1-inch thick slats.
Yeah.
Between beams.
Yep.
So
it's sort of closed on top.
Well.
Can be closed.
Depends on how many you count in there, but it looks like there's more space than there is coverage.
Yeah. The reason I'm asking is that if there was nothing expanded below and it was just the open air pergola, I was a little surprised that we needed this variation. But what it could be new to me.
Yeah, it's the
correct. If it's open or not enclosed, that doesn't count as a accessory structure or count as expanding the square footage of the primary structure. So you are correct that that typically wouldn't if it didn't require additional footing or pavement or pavers.
Yeah, so it's the slatted nature of the pergola and potentially expansion below it as well.
The expansion below it, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Is it? I agree. Okay, any questions? Are there further questions regarding this variation? Hearing none, ask John, please take the vote.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, if I can get a motion and a second on the variation for 633 Ashland.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to sections 10-9-5 and 10-9-7 of the zoning code at 633 Ashland Avenue.
Okay. Are you a second?
Second.
Okay. All right.
Sure. Similarly, this proposal received no concerns from the zoning board. It was recommended for approval by a vote of 4-0. There were no comments at the public hearing. This is regarding an addition on the kind of the corner of the home that requires a slight increase in the FAR and also a side yard setback variation.
Matt, I have a question. It passed 4-0, but Chairman Martin abstained. Did he say why he abstained?
I think he's a neighbor.
Well, he actually lives on Bonnie Brain.
Oh. Let me see here. Trustee Darn.
I know. We know her. Well, I don't know why you're listening. Interesting. Come on up. Oh, hey. How are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Didn't see you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Is it? Can you turn it on? It's should push it to say right on the mic. Bob, can you help him?
The light's on.
Oh, the light's on. Okay, then just talking to the mic, if you don't mind. Thanks.
Chairman Martin abstained because he was absent from the meeting where we originally discussed.
Oh.
There are two variations being sought, and the original public notice only went out with one of them on it, so there was a continuation of discussion. He wasn't there for the first discussion. So.
That sounds
perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds normal. Thanks a lot. Okay, any further questions? For the applicant or for me? Okay, hearing none, ask John to please take the vote.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay, and then the final one is a motion to approve 1105 Park Avenue variance. I get a motion, second.
Make a motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to section 10-9-7 of the zoning code at 1105 Park Avenue.
Okay. I hear second.
Second.
Thank you. All righty. I don't know if we've got an applicant here, but yeah.
So this request also received a unanimous recommendation from the Zoning Board of Appeals for approval. This is they're replacing the open porch in the front of their home and kind of enclosing it, which required a variation from the front yard setback requirements.
Okay. Any questions? I don't think the petitioner is here. So. Pretty straightforward. Okay. Hearing no further questions or comments, then I'd ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll go on to new business, which is just no action on our part, just hopefully a lot of listening. And so I'll ask Matt to take the podium. Maybe that's why you came in the jack. Figure it out. All right. I buy that. Hey, Matt, could you do me a big favor? Could you take the...
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
I've been wanting to do that last time, and I forgot. Well, Rick, how are you? And
look at this timing.
Maybe, yeah, want to introduce the...
We'll do. Can you go to the beginning?
Matt, you might want to speak into
sure.
that.
Yeah, I don't... This
we
seems,
don't want to muffle.
Seems quiet today. For sure.
Right.
All right. Good evening, Village Board and residents. Tonight we will be, I'll be doing a presentation to provide a kind of recap of our neighborhood dialogue series that was performed this past fall. Before I get started, I want to introduce, we've got James Chase and Rick Jaskolka, both from Jaskolka Terman Strategic Communications here. In case there's any questions or comments that the Village Board has, either James or Rick were at each of the dialogue series, along with either myself or Jessica representing the Village, in addition to another representative from Jaskolka Terman, Nell Brennan, who was there to take notes for the each individual session. Thanks. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So in August, as the Village was considering different ways to try and engage with residents, we entered into an agreement with Jaskolka Terman Communications. I'll call them JT for short, going forward, to have their firm facilitate conversations with residents in smaller groups, at residences, to kind of encourage more of an informal open dialogue, to really allow residents the opportunity to maybe speak more at length than they would at a typical Village Board meeting or any other interactions with Village officials. These calls were put out in our newsletter to kind of offer residents the ability to host these meetings at their place of residence. One session was held at the community center, which was referred to earlier, just out of comfort for a host that was interested. The Village put out this call in our newsletter to seek out kind of a wide range of opinions. Originally, the intent was to kind of focus on the southern portion of town, because the focus is really on economic development and really trying to get a sense of what residents may want to see or not want to see at the Village-owned properties on Madison Street, Madison and Ashland. And then the Village did not invite participants to those individual meetings. The host was that volunteered would ultimately be responsible for inviting their neighbors or friends or acquaintances to those individual meetings. The format of each of these meetings, there was no presentation from Village staff. The conversations, kind of with the guidance of the JT team, was to have a free-flowing discussion that was facilitated around four broad questions, basically asking, and I'll kind of go through them as we get into the feedback. There were seven dialogues held in total. And as I mentioned, each session was attended by one Village staff member and two JT members. So ultimately, of the seven dialogues, five were held south of Lake Street. One was held between Lake Street and Chicago, and then one was held north of Division. So we ended up opening it up because of the interest from other residents to get a more wide range of opinions about what's going on in town. Okay, so tonight I'll just be going over the memorandum that was in the packet for Village Board and public review that was prepared by the JT team, and outlines the trends that we're seeing across all seven meetings. The individual meeting notes will be shared on our Village website, made available. We'll also promote it in our newsletter this week so that residents can see how the different comments that were shared for each of those meetings.
One thing that's a bit unique in comparison to our usual meeting minutes for public meetings is that these notes or reports from the individual sessions are not, the comments in those sessions are not attributed to specific people. The reason being for that is to, was to encourage the residents and attendees that were there to speak freely, to, you know, share their honest opinions, positive or negative about the village. And I'll say that the participants really seem to appreciate that kind of dynamic with it. And we made that clear at the beginning of each session. And then one point here, I attended 5 of the 7 sessions, and the ones I attended, they were really productive conversations. I think it was a really good format to hear from different people. Range of opinions, it was not always all hunky-dory. I think there's definitely a lot of concerns and challenges that residents see. But overall, I think they were all very respectful, and the residents are very engaged in this format. So just wanted to kind of preface that conversation. So generally, the opening for each of these sessions, the JT team would just kind of ask the residents in the room to go around and share how long they've lived in town, what brought them to River Forest, what they like about River Forest, and what they don't like. And this question really got people talking, you know, sharing some, there was a wide range of folks that grew up in River Forest or grew up in the area, others that had come within the last couple of years, moving from the city or Oak Park or others. And there was a lot of similarities to the answers on why residents moved to River Forest. The fact that it was proximity to the city, easy to commute to work. Schools were one, that's probably 1A and 1B there. Then in addition to the fact that River Forest is viewed as a quiet community that's beautiful with all its greenery and kind of architecture and history and all of that. One point I have here, a lot of residents refer to living in River Forest as kind of an aspiration that they have had, you know, working up, waiting for the right house to come about. And residents were very proud to live in town. Other things that came up as part of this general line of questioning, property taxes would come up. I, as the memorandum from JT states, was not really a primary concern from residents. Residents acknowledge that property taxes can be significant due to the value of homes and all the rest of it. But residents seem to view it as an acceptable trade-off for the services that were received. And of course, with tying that to the school districts, that would also come up. And then throughout the conversations, this point was more at the end of the memorandum, but I felt it fit here for our discussions tonight. Public safety was a common topic throughout, primarily traffic and speeding concerns that we're very familiar with, in addition to parking challenges that are definitely top of mind, particularly as you get closer to Madison Street. The second through fourth questions kind of that the JT team would ask were all kind of related. It was kind of turned the conversation to the village-owned properties at Madison Street and Ashland and what residents would want to see there. This point here, residents are not necessarily anti-development, but questioned what the village's plan was for that property, and also really universally desire that whatever would go there would need to be consistent with the village feel. As part of this, a lot of participants would ask about what the plan is, and there would be some discussion about the village's comprehensive plan. Not a lot of the participants were familiar with the comprehensive plan. The second point, desire to develop vacant lots. I think everyone can agree that having a vacant lot is not the preferred use of any property. I want to see something that's useful for the community. And that is where there is a desire to develop the lots, but more important to get it right. And that was a pretty common thread throughout the conversations. And then questions about the development process. Many participants would ask myself or Jessica at the meetings that she attended about how a developer would be selected and then what kind of meetings would be required in our plan development process and things like that. That was something people really wanted to learn more about. Because there was, I just say there was a wide range of residents that, you know, would pay attention to our typical meetings and kind of know what the hot button topics are and things like that. But some were not as familiar, you know, some are newer to town or just not as familiar with even this site or what the development process were. So there was a kind of good amount of discussion about that. Go ahead. And then building off of the larger development question, there would be a conversation about more specifically what residents may want to see at the Madison and Ashland site. This first point, widespread opposition to high-rise buildings. That came in many different forms. Residents would point to examples in neighboring towns that they did not like and didn't think would fit in with River Forest. Others had concern about privacy or just crowdedness, the fact that River Forest as a whole is really single-family homes, detached single-family homes, and that is very close to the village-owned sites here on Madison Street, and that's the protecting the River Forest look and feel was really kind of getting at that point that it might seem out of place if there were high-rise buildings. A common comment along those lines that residents believe that there's ways that the design of whatever building were to go there is really going to play a major role. Residents generally didn't like boxy buildings. They wanted it to have some type of architectural value that might be more in line with some of the historic homes and things in town, and also acknowledge that buffering or landscaping may help mitigate the concerns about privacy or just the appeal of a building that may be larger than those around it. But in terms of the high-rise conversation, a lot of participants at these sessions were hesitant or unsure of how to respond or opine on it without having an example. It's hard for anyone really to kind of determine what does 50 feet mean versus 40 feet or 80 feet. I think the general consensus is that I remember one of the residents at the first session said, made the comment that they weren't really sure, but shorter would be better. Which is understandable. It's more in line with some of the single-family homes nearby. But that theme of residents kind of unsure how to respond came up quite a bit in reference to whenever the GT team would try to get more specific. Residents were, well, we need to kind of get an understanding of what it looks like. It's hard to picture just hearing a number of stories, a number of what the height may be. So I think that's something to keep in mind going forward for how to present any potential development concepts and kind of get feedback from residents. Then some of the other topics that are specific to residential development, there was kind of a split over, and I should say a split. We were not taking a poll or counting hands raised at these meetings. It was not like that. This is more of a qualitative analysis. So we're not going to, the memos or the notes from the individual meetings aren't going to cite specific numbers of who said what. That's why you'll kind of see the widespread or universal is probably the most definitive statement we'll use in the memorandum or I'll use tonight. But generally, there was a split or kind of a varying opinions about a couple of things, residential development. There were a number of residents that had observations or pointed out that there's not a lot of available housing stock in River Forest. It's not necessarily easy for new families to move into town. And then also residents also point out that there are not a lot of options for residents as they age to kind of downsize into a multifamily housing unit in town, which is consistent with some of the things that we've heard out there, kind of discussed even with the age friendly report. But on the flip side of that, kind of benefits to the new housing, there are also concerns from residents about how new housing will affect village infrastructure and also students in the school districts, and also traffic and parking concerns were kind of commonly raised in this point too. Another topic that the GT team would try to kind of drill down on would be what type of housing units would be part of this, whether it would be apartments or condos or even townhomes. There was a kind of competing perspectives on this as well. Residents viewed maybe that rental units would see more turnover or less stake in the community. Others were kind of indifferent to that point of view. And then townhomes would also come up because there are definitely some residents that viewed townhomes as a less dense option for the site, meaning less units on the property. So it'd be less of an impact on parking or schools and the like. Then, of course, the parking being on site was very commonly stated by residents for residential development and any other commercial use too, which is not surprising. One point here, one of the sessions when there was kind of good back and forth with the group about what residents might want to see, there was comments about seeing townhomes or comparing it to the promenade townhomes over a little further west on Madison Street. There was a comment by a resident that viewed that a townhome development like that may be a missed opportunity because being residential only might not really offer anything for the residents to benefit from, which goes to the next point here, that something everyone can use. That was that came up coincidentally at I think all five sessions I was at. That's a broad statement, but I think the residents see this as an opportunity. It's a village-owned piece of property to have something that all residents can benefit from. And this came in a lot of different forms. I think one of the most common responses was a restaurant. A lot of residents kind of lamented the fact that there's not a restaurant in town aside from a couple of the eateries we do have, but maybe something where residents can sit down and have a drink and without having to go to any of the neighboring communities. And that extended to cafes and higher end convenience stores were referenced. And there was also flip side from those types of retail commercial pieces. There was also an interest from some residents that the space be used for recreational use. Indoor recreation came up quite a bit at our conversations. There's some comments in the memorandum about having a rec center like Oak Park or Forest Park have, or improving our current community center. And residents viewed this potentially as a space where some of that can be accomplished. Some residents raised the idea of a public pool for the property as well. Let me see what else was there. But the overarching theme for all of that was really that something everyone can use. Residents largely wanted something to that they could take advantage of and improve their walkability to enjoy something within River Forest limits. Having said that, of course, there was a lot of comments about residents having concern about the viability of any of these uses at that site. Residents would point to the fact that the Madison Street west of Des Plaines kind of gets a little bit more quiet, pointed to some of the restaurants or storefronts that have seen some turnover in recent years, and it's just challenging market for any retail use that the residents were concerned about that and concerned about seeing something go vacant. They felt that having a storefront there or having something that everyone can use or at least preparing it for that is great in concept, but almost more concerned that if it were to be empty, that would be even worse scenario for the village. But as I said, residents would commonly cited going to Madison Street and Forest Park or downtown Oak Park or the like to shop or dine. And then here, Lake and Lathrop came up quite a bit at some of these conversations because it wasn't necessarily asked about directly at the conversations, but in the context of development in River Forest, it was understandably kind of a case study for residents to point to. There were several comments that residents are kind of skeptical about development in town due to the current status of that project. But when the topic would come up, the JT team would see it as an opportunity to kind of see if that type of product would be appealing in town. And generally, there was not a lot of displeasure at the concept of the condos or retail space that was proposed as part of that project. But residents would point to the Lake and Lathrop process as kind of an example of time when more communication for all development process would be was heavily requested by all residents that attended, which kind of brings us to path forward here. So in the memorandum that the JT team prepared, kind of identified the overarching themes and maybe different ways for the village to address them and try to build support for an eventual project in Madison Street or really with any project in town. Residents shared the idea that the village has a flawed process for selecting concepts and developers. A lot of this would be tied to the Lake and Lathrop project in the conversation. But a lot of it, residents want to be involved early and often in the process. to review concepts and kind of understand what the market will bear and what developers or builders would want to see. And a lot of residents acknowledge that could sit around and talk about how much, like, we want this great thing. We want this and that, and let's go do it. Village, I recognize that the other piece to this, this story is having a developer that can, having a development that's viable and developers that are willing to, execute it and make, viable financially for developers. Residents, consistently ask for the village to kind of explain the market conditions and what the developers' needs are. Residents would ask about what the village has heard from developers, and many requested the opportunity to talk to potential developers early on in the process to get an understanding of what is what the challenges are from that side in order to kind of meet the residents and the village's hopes and dreams for the property with the reality of the development economics. And as I've said many times, communication, a lot of conversation. Some we talked more about communication than development, which I got a lot of value in hearing from residents on what they may want to see and where maybe they viewed where the village fell short on. I think we talk about communication a lot, but if it's not giving residents what they want to hear, then it's kind of a wasted effort on our piece. And I think that we do have a pretty robust communications program as it is currently. However, we need to do more. And that was one of the primary takeaways that came from this. And there we are again. Residents want dedicated development communications early and often. And I think an important part is substantive communications. I think that sharing information with residents about what the market analysis or what other projects are, different comparisons or different comprehensive plan, all that kind of things that are related. I think it's on us to kind of make a point to keep that in mind when we prepare our communications. The second point was kind of a somewhat of a recommendation from the JT team to use community ambassadors and varied meeting styles. Residents enjoyed the smaller form meetings that we had, but also recognized that there's a need for the traditional public hearings and open meeting presentations before commissions and boards and all that. And I think a mix of that, virtual presentations and things like that, will provide enough options to residents to participate or at least learn about what might be going on. A lot of residents share different opinions on what those formats would be. I think that going forward, we will kind of provide a range of those not in the same exact format that we did, but kind of a different options for residents so that they're comfortable one way or another way, that there's different options for them. And then this is not to eliminate any of the required steps for an eventual development that would move forward. There's still public hearing requirements and things that will come forward when we get to a point where that's required. This is kind of more about the early steps where residents really want to not be surprised by getting a notice in the mail about project that might be happening down the street and want to know what the process is going into it. And then I mentioned kind of substantive updates. I think that the format that we had was resident driven. The bulk of the discussion was had by residents, which was by design, to kind of hear what the concerns or feedback were. But I think the next step, there will need to be more of a presentation or offering up of information from the village to have residents be able to respond to, or kind of address some of the questions about the process or the market and things like that, so that it can get a little bit closer to coalescing around a project that makes sense for River Forest. And then kind of related to that, the Economic Development Commission has been discussing for some time now bringing on a real estate broker to help market the site, the Madison Street site. Currently, we've taken a little bit of a passive approach on marketing the site online and with the signs on the property, now sign. And we've gotten some inquiries about the property, but I think we want to get as many options as possible. I think the village needs to have a lot of options to kind of deliberate from and see what is out there, so that it's not the luck of somebody calling the village on one day and proceeding forward. I think we need a process that will kind of attract as much interest as possible from the market. And then on this communication side, brokers have the ability to kind of share a lot of background on what the market conditions are out in the field, rather than just anecdotal conversations that a developer may have with me about what needs to go into the property. That's statements like that aren't going to, they're not going to work. I think we need the experts that are in this field to kind of filter through that and kind of share what is out there, so that the village board and the residents have that information about what will be needed to bring a development into town. So the village did do an RFP for broker services this Wednesday. The Economic Development Commission will be making a recommendation for the broker firm that was selected. There were a couple subcommittees for the of the EDC and also staff to speak with the different broker firms, and we plan to bring that agreement to the village board at the next meeting, January 27th.
Matt, is the EDC bringing an agreement to the board or bringing a recommendation to the board?
They will be making a recommendation regarding the firm. There's still some negotiating over the actual terms of the agreement that are being worked on, kind of from a staff and legal perspective at this time. So that's the actual terms of the agreement are not necessarily within the EDC's purview in this case. So, but yes, that will be a recommendation about the specific firm to bring forward. And then the specific next steps, that will be before the village board at the January 27th village board meeting. I think our plan is to kind of view the next 3 months or so, the next 90 days, we'll call it, as this kind of additional public outreach and feedback collection and public education. I don't necessarily want to use that word, but kind of addressing a lot of the requests that came from residents here. This, the neighbor dialogues, we knew from the beginning this was not going to just a one-stop solution to find exactly what's going to go to the property. That's just, it was a method to get feedback in a different format from maybe some residents we haven't heard from before and kind of help guide us for what is out there. We think it was a good collection of opinions, and I think it'll help us proceed on this case. So view the next 90 days as a continuation of that with a little bit more information. And a lot of this will be highlighted in our communications. Then following that kind of outreach and additional feedback collection, we'll work with the broker on having a window to market the site and accept initial proposals from developers that may be interested. And over that next 3 months, look for to begin to whittle down the options and try and bring a proposal forward that we believe addresses the village board's desires as well as addresses resident concerns and is viable for the developer. And then I think that is it.
Okay, that was a good summary. I mean, maybe before we take questions from the trustees, Rick, welcome back. Is there anything that you want to add from your perspective? And if you do, I'd ask you to get to the podium because people are listening. And we don't want anybody not to be able to hear us. I'd be tired. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I want to say a big thank you to Matt and Jessica, who did a phenomenal job at these dialogues and really did engage when people had questions. They felt really good about getting answers. Whether they were the answers they wanted to hear or not, they got answers. I guess I would say the one big thing is that there's a difference between communication and engagement. And what we sought here was not just communication, because the village does actually a really great job of communicating, but that's different than engagement.
Yeah.
And people really felt like they were being asked their opinions. And there was actually, as Matt indicated, a really good discussion. And I would say, you know, moving forward, I would continue with community dialogues. You don't need us to do them anymore. We, you know, this was, you know, something that we jump-started here for the village, as we have in many other places. People were not opposed to development. They were open to it, but they are concerned about certain issues. And I have to say at the top of the list, as Matt indicated, traffic and parking, are big concerns. And I'll just say from a personal perspective, I've lived in the village for 50 years. And when we moved in, when Judy and I moved here in 1975, you could roll a bowling ball down Madison and probably not hit a person, an automobile, or anything. You know, probably the most activity was at the old Peasley's hardware store. I think now you have a very vibrant area, and people are concerned about traffic. So I was surprised how open people were, as Matt indicated, different types of residential. Some people favored townhomes, some people for low-rise condos, but everybody felt that there needed to be parking built in to whatever happens if it's going to go residential. You know, I think I was sort of surprised at first, but Matt referred to the fact that, you know, people feel that the community center is aged and, you know, they would like to see some of the amenities that other villages have. And so that was another concept. You know, I think people that have been in the village for a while will be amused at almost every dialogue. Well, certainly at every dialogue I was at, and James and I split the dialogues, people were upset with Lake and Lathrop. And we all understand the issues and the problems and all that. But virtually everybody said, you know, why'd you get rid of Annie's if you didn't have a good plan? You know, that may have an impact on the way people are feeling about Madison and Ashland. But there was not an anti-development. In fact, in none of the dialogues that I sat in on were people like anti-development. They were very constructive. They had very clear thoughts, but, you know, they wanted to see a plan. The other thing I would say, and then I'll shut up, and if people have questions, Matt talked about the fact that, you know, you have dialogues for a conversation, but you need a presentation when you actually have a plan. People need to see a plan and ask questions. They're not mutually exclusive. So I think, you know, what I would say is, you know, you may want to have dialogues to get a sense from the public of what is acceptable in terms of options. You know, public opinion can't drive a particular development. That's just not economically feasible. But people were very eager to share what will and won't fly. And there was a pretty big parameter here. You know, it was pretty robust in terms of, you know, different kinds of development. Then you need, people want a presentation of a proposal and they want to be able to ask questions. And then there may be an opportunity then to do some additional dialogues to maybe do some fine tuning, you know, along the way. But it was very positive. People were polite. People were respectful. People had good conversations. I would say, you know, I met people that I've never met before, and everybody was very collegial. And a really, I mean, Matt, real conversations took place. And I think that's a positive. And the big positive is people love this community. They love living here. And so that is a big takeaway. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a place that people love to be at. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them, or Matt or James.
So I'll open it up. Well, that, it would be for the trustees at this point, Rick. Rick, we don't normally engage the residents right now. I mean, we pretty much try to talk to the trustees. But since, Debbie, you had your name up here and you didn't talk, I'd be happy to take your question. But could you come to the podium?
Sure.
Thank you. I was going to ask if it would be okay if I could speak now. I would like to know how many participants total in all seven of the dialogues, including the hosts. That's my first question.
Is that something? Well, we got to make sure we talk into the microphone. So I don't know. I just want to make sure, because I know there's been complaints that people can't hear, and I want to make sure we absolutely get people to hear. Oh. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're trying to do it right.
I don't need a mic.
Yeah.
The question was how many participants participated in total. It was around 75 residents. The notes that will be out there tomorrow has how many residents were at each of the meetings.
Yeah. And we're going to be presenting the notes again, anonymous, so that people were comfortable. But the whole idea of these is to be small group conversations. We generally don't want any more than 10 or 12 people at any dialogue, if you really want to have a conversation.
Yep.
Okay, in the Village newsletter, you mentioned that you were going to be doing a second round of these dialogues, and I wondered if that was going to be another $19,500.
As I indicated, our goal was to get this going. The Village, I think, is perfectly capable of doing these on their own moving forward. Well, what we did is created a format and sort of a protocol for it. And I think the Village, you know, as I said, Matt, Jessica, either one of them were at each one of these sessions. So moving forward, I think they can do these.
Okay, well, I hope that moving forward, the Village would consider holding more of a public meeting that people could sign up for or that everyone was invited to. And not spend any additional money. I would like to remind everyone here that the final zoning hearing attracted more than 160 attendees in person and another 60 online for more than 200 people, and that people did not hesitate to state their opinions and opine in that hearing, and also that for 2 years, my neighbors had meetings and presented at this board and at the EDC, really not saying anything much different than what the conclusions are up there, except for that we were told at the outset that no community center would be considered at Madison and Ashland, that was off the table.
That's all I have. Do you mind if I...
Well, you can. I mean, on the community center? Or... Go ahead. Yes, please. Yeah. This is your time to talk.
So there's a difference between 200 people coming and people opining and a conversation. We do these dialogues so that there's a conversation and not just people spouting off. Okay. I'm just saying. I mean, we...
We have a group, a neighborhood group,
okay,
that met with Matt, met with the former Village manager.
Debbie, can I ask you? I understand, and I know this is important to you,
that's a little insulting to say, okay. Spouting off. Like, you're not aware of the history, and I apologize that you don't know about this, but we had numerous meetings at people's homes in my neighborhood that people were invited to, and we formed a memo that was based on, we had Zoom meetings, we had in-person meetings, and we formed a memo that went through everything that we wanted. We presented it here, we presented it at the EDC, and the conclusions that I see are really no different than the things that we already said 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And nothing was spouting off. It was all meetings. It was agreement. People were negotiating in the neighborhood about what was going to happen during the demolition of those buildings. So that's all. That's all I have
to say. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, Debbie. Yeah. So as far as you want to talk about the community center,
sure, I'll
and the reason it's not ours to negotiate. But
correct. That was included because we wanted to accurately report the conversations and the comments that were made. That shouldn't be interpreted as an indication that would be the plan going forward, that the Village does not manage the community center. That's a separate entity. We had several questions about Park District and other things like that. So that the purpose of including that here in the memorandum was because that is was commonly stated. And there was conversation about, you know, explaining the different taxing bodies throughout. And that's one thing that we want to.
And there's no reason that we can't open it up and have those conversations, Debbie and everybody else. I mean, it is a community asset. There's no reason why that can't be done. So I would say that everything's on the table. Okay. So I'm going to open it up to the trustees. I mean, I thought it was, thank you very much, Rick and team and Matt and Jessica for, you know, especially you, Matt, for putting the presentation together. I thought it was well put together. And I like the timeline of it because there needs to be a path forward on many things. So I'll let any of you trustees ask Matt or Rick a question. We've got a couple comments.
I guess I have one question as to the development review process. Matt, was that clearly explained during these sessions of what our process was? It seems like a lot of the items that were brought up by the residents fall into that process that we have.
Yes, I like to think that it was explained. I admittedly, there are a lot of steps to the plan development process, so I think maybe reiterating that will be helpful. There was some opportunity to kind of share that there are requirements about traffic study and landscaping plan and things like that would address some of the resident concerns. But so yes, I would, when given the opportunity, would speak to the process.
And how about the comprehensive plan, which we worked on several years ago? Are residents aware of the work that was put in on that and where to find that?
Yes, they are now, at least the residents that spoke about it. I know at least at one of the meetings, there was interest and link was shared and copies were shared with attendees so that they can view for themselves. But I would say generally at the beginning, there was not a lot of familiarity with the comprehensive plan. There were a few comments about the fact that it may need an update to incorporate new resident feedback. And there was also some comments about the fact that the comprehensive plan was 2019, 2020, and since has provided, you know, with the pandemic may have had a different impact on things. So there were a few comments that explored maybe looking at reviewing the comprehensive plan or updating the comprehensive plan.
Yeah. And let me just maybe, you finished? Yeah. I mean, just to piggyback on that, I don't think it's wrong to update it. I mean, statutorily, we have to do it every, I think, 20 years. And right, I believe so. And we spent 2 years, maybe more, putting that plan together. And we had focus groups, lots of them. Many of you probably participated in those focus groups. And that plan was a very, I would say, maybe a year in the making. So 2 years prior and the year in the making of just developing it. So 3 years just to get to where we were at. And there's a lot of good information and none of it is, you know, secretive. None of it's all very transparent. It's just that people got to, we got to engage them to read the document. And I mean, on page 103, clearly shows the what recommendations for the zoning code updates we needed to do. I mean, it was so clear and there it is and it was voted on unanimously. But it's clear that our residents don't read that and understand it. And that's a good feedback for us because we really need to get that out there because there's nothing that we're hiding. There's nothing that we're doing. It's clearly there. It's just not been read and we need to do better at, you know, getting that out, I think. It's a great document. But we need to update it.
That's why that we have the development review process. So we start at square one and we walk it through step by step by step. And as Matt said, it's a long process, but the process is laid out.
So let me just define the development review. The comprehensive plan was developed by the plan commission. And it was they spent really good 3 years debating that plan. And then that's what was voted on by the trustees unanimously. The development review board is a process that we have put in place for anything 20,000 square feet and above so that it's clear, you know, it's a statutory, actually zoning board, but called development review board. It's statutorily required and it has a very transparent process on what to do, you know, in terms of public hearings and discussions. And I think it has 8 standards that the development has to meet, maybe more. I mean, it's a fairly robust process. Now, I understand why residents may not understand it because it may not be a development that they like or they want. And so it must be the process. But the process, I think, is fairly robust and pretty nice. That's why I like your idea, Rick and Matt. Up front, there probably needs to be more engagement with our residents because we do a lot of communication. And that's why I really like the idea of community ambassadors. I think that is something I've never heard, and I think it's something maybe we could use because I think residents do want to give us feedback, and that might be a formal way or a semi-informal way of getting engagement going on.
And there were people eager to do that, and there really is a difference between communication. Nobody said that the village doesn't communicate.
Right.
It's the engagement piece, yep. The sort of having a conversation about it.
Yep, understood. Yeah, I mean, I understood that.
I just have a question, and it's a follow-up on all these things. With we do have a comprehensive plan. We know we obviously have to do a better job of making sure that it's accessible to folks and they understand it because it is. It's a dense document. So, I mean, it's not like this. It's not for the faint of heart to kind of walk through it. Like, do we have any ideas or is there a plan for, you know, kind of making that more tangible for folks?
Like bite size.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering, like, how do we tackle that?
Sure. I think we've talked about options of in our kind of regular communications, having a kind of a spotlight on comprehensive plan to maybe just tease or provide an overview to a specific section. There's a lot of things that are covered in the document, public space, commercial development, different things like that. We can kind of tease or kind of residents may be more interested if it's more comprehensive plan is by definition a broad term, and specifying to things that might be of interest may encourage folks to review at least that specific piece of it on the website. So kind of the bite size portions of that in our communications. Now that's different than engagement. We can kind of talk through how to incorporate that into the those meetings or events. But I think that's a good idea.
Any other comments or questions? All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is awesome. Rick, thank you. And congratulations on job well done in DC. All right. Thank you, Matt. And thank you, Jessica. She's not here. All right. So that concludes our new business section. So we will have an executive session, right? So we're going to have a motion to move into executive session.
Okay. I move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILSC ILCS 120/2C11. To discuss pending litigation, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
President Aducey.
Yes. Thank you.